I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast for the recap of the Women's World Championships individual time trial, 30.3 kilometers from Nokerheist to Bruges. It skips the sort of canal section that mended yesterday, which tacks on the extra 12 kilometers. But I believe the course to T1 is exactly the same. The favorites of the race were Marlon Reusser, who won the European Championships ahead of Ellen van Dijk, and Annemiek van Vleuten. Dark horses were more like Amber Nieben and the two Germans, Klein and Brennau. But it really was between, at least Benny and I thought, Reusser, van Dijk and van Vleuten on this pancake flat course. And that's who the battle was between. Apart from other good performances, the Drops of Coal rider Jos Loudon, look, all obviously a show partner for the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, getting a top 10. But I can't remember, do we both agree on this one, Benji? I think we both went Reusser winning this in our predictions.
Yes, indeed. We had Reusser winning this one ahead of Van Dijk, and I think I had Van Dijk in second and Van Vleuten in third. I think you had Van Vleuten ahead of Van Dijk, but I could be wrong.
Probably. Anyway, that's, as you know, you know how we do the TT results. Van Dijk actually wins this TT, a very fast course and a fast time from her, 50.4 kilometer an hour average for a 36 minute and 5 second TT. She's a bigger rider, I think over 6 foot. And just like we saw with Ganna and Van Aert yesterday, a big advantage for those, it seems that way at least, the bigger riders who obviously still need to do the power, still need to be relatively aerodynamic. But yeah, she wins the World Championships, her second actually since she won in 2013 at a Marlon Reusser, the Swiss, who's on fine form and is going to, I believe, SD Works next year, who won the Europeans. So Van Dijk won the Europeans road race, but Reusser lost by 10 seconds. She was first at T1, and Reusser was Van Aert, and Van Dijk was Ganna, except they went off in different orders. Van Dijk was in the hot seat for a long time. Reusser was quicker to T1, 4 seconds advantage. Then T2 was down to 3 seconds, so more like 2.5, I thought. And then at the finish, she actually lost by 10 seconds. So she lost 13 seconds from T2 to the finish, which was 10 kilometers. So, yeah, I'm not sure if she puts her power data up, but and I can't really, you can't visually tell the difference between the two riders. But, yeah, it just seems like a really well-paced performance from Ellen van Dijk, Menji.
Yes, certainly. It started off indeed with Reusser having that slight upper hand, like you mentioned. And in all honesty, I thought the time that Van Dijk initially said was looking like it might not even be beatable at Reusser at the first time check, because she started off and had a significant difference between her and the rider that was on the hot seat at that point in time. I think it was Adriana Marcus, but I'm not 100% certain about that. And that was like she was taking 40 seconds at the first time check, like a minute 40 at the second one. And when that happens, you're like, okay, this is a time that might actually stick on the board. And sure, we're going to have our best riders at the end, but this is a big gap between 1 minute 40 and like Van Dijk there. So I was starting to get potentially worried that Reusser might not even come close at the first time check. But for the tension of the race, I was really happy to see that that was not the case, that they were close together and we're up for another close fight. We've had very close fights, both at the men's race, U23 race of the men's, and now this women's race as well. And I've absolutely loved every second of it. And it didn't stop there. It was very similar at the second time check as well, very close together. But you had that feeling that you mentioned at the preview. You mentioned that we don't know whether Reusser can keep up that latter part of the time trial. The last 8 kilometers is what you mentioned. And props on that, because that's exactly what happened. Van Dijk was able to hold on to that lead. Well, she was able to gain a lead in the latter part of the time trial. And as a consequence, it feels like that is indeed the case, that the latter part is what decided it on this one. And the endurance for the end of this time trial. And I think that it became pretty clear already at the first time check that Van Vleuten wasn't going to be fighting for the victory, though. But I personally was not expecting that myself. But still a good performance, to be honest. Like, a bronze medal as well. It's I was a bit worried in the second time check, but by the third one, it's pretty clear that she was getting bronze as well. So overall, a very fun time trial and a winner that deserves it. She probably had one of the better 10 days of her career, perhaps. Like, yeah. European road race and now World Championships time trial. It sucks a bit for Reuser when it comes to her birthday today, but I guess cycling is not decided by that kind of stuff. But yeah, what do you think about the rest?
Well, I'll do the top 10 first of all. Van Vleuten third, 36:29. So as Benny said, tight gaps, 24 seconds between first and third. And then Amber Neben, who we said to watch out for, I thought a top six candidate. She actually comes fourth, but it is a big gap. A minute from Van Vleuten to Amber Neben in from third to fourth. And then she was 4 seconds, 5 seconds rather, ahead of Brennau for Germany, which I would say a little bit disappointing for the two Germans. I definitely thought they – I didn't think they'd podium, but I thought they could be within 30 seconds of Van Vleuten on this course. But to be honest, their setups didn't look good, nor did Amber Neben's setup look good, frankly. And I'm not – it's that's just the way it is. You know, not everyone can has the time or money or whatever to go in the wind tunnel seven times a year and fix it all up. But yeah, Neben set up and the Germans didn't look great. Lebu, actually quite a good results from her, the French rider, in sixth. She's small. She's like 55 kilos, 53 kilos and 165 centimeters. So a nice result from her. And Jos Loudon, eighth, up 38:04, 2 minutes behind Van Dijk. Then Rianne Marcus, somehow Netherlands got three riders doing this race. Rianne Marcus came ninth. Then Amalia Usyk, the Belarusian, in 10th. Other notable things were, I think, my dark horse for top 10, Olga Zabalinskaya, didn't start, which is very strange, actually.
She heard you talk about it on the time trial and she was like, I can't do what he's just telling me to do, so I might as well not start.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. So maybe we'll hear more about that at a later date. Who knows? But yeah, that's the women's TT. Marlon Reusser is still in magic form. I think with a few hills, Reusser, as we saw, Europeans is pretty flat. But yeah, as Benji said, you know, it's 8Ks longer here. She's a little bit lighter than Ellen van Dijk. And yeah, it was very similar played out to the men's race and also the men's U23, where you had the really big engines, Johan Troost-Pedersen winning the men's under-23. And then say, if I'm making an equivalence between Van Vleuten and Lucas Plapp, they're just it's a struggle to really stay with the big engines on this course. But what do you think, Benji, now that we've wrapped up the TT action about this course? Do you like it? I think with the Olympics course being long and extremely hilly, I think it's actually quite nice that they've had, you know, given an opportunity for riders like Ellen van Dijk and Ganna to win on a course at World Championships. That's the opposite of that.
I agree, but I'm that annoying guy that every year keeps complaining that the World Championships time trial should be relatively representative of what happens during the season, and we don't have these long time trials throughout the season in the majority of races, and that annoys me a bit because then you're like the world champion of races that don't happen in the season, and I don't know, it feels a bit odd. But on the other hand, I do think that we'd have likely the same riders battling it out if it was 10K shorter, so I guess that's not really a...
I don't agree. We wouldn't.
Okay.
Bissiger is, he's going to win a lot of World Tour TTs. No, hopefully, the way he's looking. And it's not his profile for World Champs TTs. So maybe Imola. I think he actually was almost too conservative yesterday, but the way his splits went, same with Evenepoel. But yeah, I think I do like the women's being 30Ks because that is similar-ish to some of the other courses. It's only a little bit longer than the majority of their Women's World Tour TTs. But Reusser next year, Benji, she's just a TT beast. Is she someone, if your SD works, that you try and build a team around GC-wise for like Healthy Aging Tour, Simac Ladies Tour? She came second at the Vuelta without a time trial there, although she got in the break. It's a bit of a weird race. Or do you think they're going to try and convert her into classics? Because she didn't have any success really at the 13th at Gent-Wevelgem in the group, 9th at Tour of Flanders, but she wasn't a standout there. Do you think SD Works can be the difference? Because I do, because that team makes a big difference.
I think they can be the difference, but I don't think that she necessarily needs to be the leader in those races, because I believe that she could take that role that Van der Breggen took in a few races where she was the person that ended up keeping up the tempo to make sure Vollering was able to sprint at the end of the race, stuff like that. And true, she has the ability to get over climbs relatively decently. And when it comes to cobble hills as well, that Tour of Flanders 9, that means that you can play an important role in the final of a race. And I think that's potentially a very important thing now that Van der Breggen is lost at SD Works as a rider, because they're going to have a rider to, they're going to need a rider to fill in that gap of top of racing. Obviously, she might not be able to do what Van der Breggen did last year and win like literally every race she rides, but she most likely will be an important factor in getting Vollering the wins and getting her team to more victories and getting ourselves a few victories, because I do believe that this form of Reusser can win races and will likely do so again next season. And I don't know, it feels like a very good transfer in hindsight, certainly. I think that her market value has upped quite a bit after signing her contract with SD Works.
Especially if she's going to be on the podium GC of the Tour de France, the first one next year. I'm calling that now. They'll have a TT in there, one would think. So I think she'll be a very good shout to be on the podium of the Tour. I think Lonneke Unniken obviously is going to clean up Gent Wevelgem so she can lead out her. She's a beast at SD Works. But yeah, SD Works looking pretty good with Marlon Royce, although she's 30, but it's kind of like with AVV, you know, was she doing 25,000 kilometers a year when she was 20 years old? Probably not. And, you know, she's a late starter to cycling. So her age really belies her improvement curve, which has been very, very steep this year. Yes, sir.
What we notice is that we don't have like a U23 category in this for the women's. And is that something that you feel is necessary, or do you feel like that is balanced out by the fact that in women's cycling, we have, I don't know, it feels like we have more U23 talent already in World Tour and teams like SD Works already popping up early on, like Annie Fisher-Black was early on in that. Juliette Labou is very early on. She's 22 and doing this, like that's insane, and she's likely going to grow a lot. Do you think that that balances it out, or do you think that they need some kind of extra step up to potential World Tour scouting pool stuff?
World Tour scouting, women's World Tour scouting is, let's be honest, not very sophisticated. And one good result at a major event where some person sees you on TV one day and like, oh, you're pretty good, can get start. Seriously, it starts conversations and people can get signed just off that. So I think the rationale is that there's not enough depth for a women's U23, but I think it'd be good to give opportunities to the riders you mentioned. You know, we're seeing in the men's, Florian Vermeersch doing the U23 TT. It's not just about discovering talent either. It's maybe giving an opportunity as well for a U23 rider currently in Women's World Tour to be the woman for the day and have the team prep for her, and when she's not maybe a leader in races currently for her team, and just get practice in really focusing on a TT and an important one. So I'd like to see it. I don't really see why it's a strong rationale for it not being possible.
Okay, I agree.
But let us know what you think down below about that. And I think particularly with the advent of the women's first Paris-Roubaix coming up and then women's Tour de France next year, we're hopefully going to see more investment in women's cycling, because the Tour de France provides a lot of that's what sponsors pay for in the men's. You'd hope if it's successful next year, that will boost salaries and everything and help women's cycling there next year as well. But any other news from you, Benji? What else we got? Well, why was this on the Monday, by the way? Just why was this not on the Saturday? Like, it makes no sense.
I don't know either. I've been roasting it for 3 days that they've put this on a Monday. I don't get why. I think it's because they want to have the elite men's race kick it off, perhaps. And that'd be the start of the event. And then have the elite men's race finish it off as well, most likely, I'm guessing, at the end, which, I don't know, it just feels a bit weird, personally.
Yeah, it's if you're putting this on a Monday, you're just destining it to have less interest. That's just how how it works. But yeah, otherwise news, a bit of a, you know, a Lantern Andorra updates. Yeah, I went to the hairdresser today and I said, could you give me the La Liga left wing back that doesn't, no, the left winger that doesn't track back? And she said, no, that's not you. And she said, I'll give you the Eagle Street corporate haircut that you actually are. And that's what I got. So I'm pretty happy with that. That was my morning. Otherwise, we've got the, what else we got coming up, Benji?
We have, the men's and women's road race coming up at a certain point the next week. I think that's Saturday and Sunday, but I have no clue because I haven't checked it. I think Sunday is pretty obvious that it's the road race, though,
yeah.
For men's at least. And next to that, we have Lombardy and Roubaix. Do we do the women's tour?
Yep. Okay, so okay. We got previews will be dropping for the road races on Wednesday and Thursday. We might have a little look at the men's U23. As well, obviously, Plapp and Sheffield. The Sheffield Ineos announcement was announced officially today, but we already knew he was going there. So those two are like, you know, 70 to 72 kilo TT boys going to Ineos, classic signings for them. And JPP's at UNOX, who won the men's U23, continuing the Danish streak of that. Just quickly, any standouts from the U23, Benji? I think Plapp actually was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. When it comes to like Plapp, he certainly was very strong, and he's doing that at the age of 20 compared to Aprisa Peterson, who is at 22 in that. So that's a difference of 2 years. Oh, math with Benji. Sorry about that. Florian Vermeersch, like, yes, he is indeed in the top three there. And I don't know, it just feels weird to have him race that race. I don't know why. World Tour team riders there. This is a whole discussion that we could do an entire podcast
Jani about. Jani Brakovic not happy, man. He's not happy.
Yeah, he's not happy, but I think that every single offer that people give has an opposite to it. So, for example, they're saying, either you pull out World Tour riders from these events. And then I'm thinking, well, then Alpecin Phoenix still is allowed to send riders to it. So that's a bad division in performances. And then they say, well, Pro Conti as well, you can't cut that out. And then we look at that and, well, if you cut out World Tour and Pro Conti, then you're going to have the same difference because teams like Mazovce and W52 are able to beat Pro Conti teams at a lot of the races they ride in. So are those teams then not better than the Pro Conti teams? And do they not have riders like, I don't know, a young Rafael Reis that pops up at a certain point? Is he then not suddenly allowed to race while there are other riders in Pro Conti that don't have that ability to race? And not every Pro Conti rider has made it, in my eyes, personally. And then you look even further when you're talking about, well, if you cut out those two, World Tour and Pro Conti, then you've got a championship that basically defines the best U23 rider that is not riding in World Tour and Pro Conti. Is that still U23 World Championships? And that's where I've got a very unpopular opinion, where a championships should have the best rider in that criteria win.
So Evenepoel's the U23 World Champ.
Yeah, for example, he would have won by 35 seconds if he was in that race instead of the elite race.
Hey, a minute.
And what, sorry?
A minute. He would have won by a lot.
Well, I actually checked, and it's only like 35 seconds based on Prisa Peterson, which really? Is surprisingly close in my eyes. But
is that not like, accounting for him doing a longer TT, though?
Yeah, that's very true. I didn't even think about that.
But I get what you're saying. I have a foot in both camps. I think it's Florian Vermeersch, not exactly dominating World Tour, is he? Like, it's okay to have him get an opportunity, and his setup, frankly, is kind of shit as well.
Does that mean if you're too good, you're not allowed to race it?
Well, yeah, because like when Sergio Higuita did the World Champs U23 road race in Yorkshire after he'd won a Vuelta stage the month before, I was like, this is a bit fucked. Like, it's like, what's going on here? You're on like a 3-year World Tour deal. You just won a Grand Tour stage.
And then you've got like Carlos Rodriguez, who's like 20, and then he's riding the road race in the ITT with Elite. And then you've got people who are 2.5 years older that are riding the U23 championships, and that annoys the crap out of me. But there's like no solution perfectly, because my take on it is that, I said it, like the best rider should win in the category, but that's very straight true, because that would mean that every national championships is wrong because they always have a shit start list.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe we're arguing for what we just said means there shouldn't be in a U23 category. The thing, you know, you look at Johan Cruyff Pedersen. He spent a lot of time in U23, maybe a year longer almost. I mean, no, he's been racing at UnoX, right? But he's been focusing on winning the U23 World Championships at 22 years old. And now I'm looking at him and he's not really developed any classics experience. I'm like, what's next for you as a rider? Whereas Plapp, 20, going straight to World Tour next year, that the pathway is very different. Same with Bjerg. We're seeing Bjerg had to then be like, oh, I'm actually not that good at TT. In World Tour level, when he'd won, you know what, he'd won three World Championships or two World Championships, and he's now had to focus on being a domestique at World Tour level to actually get paid and stay in World Tour. So it also can be, I think, a little bit of a trap chasing U23 World Championships, so especially in Lavenir. You know, Foss wins. Is Foss winning Lavenir as it's not as impressive as Bernal Pagacci, is it, or the Johannessen guy winning it against Rodriguez? So
yeah, I agree.
Off-season topic we can flesh out in full, I reckon. We'll write that down. But this is our recap of the World Championships.
We've never written anything now.
I literally can't write. I'm illiterate. Anyway, this is our recap of World Championships ITT. We'll see you at the preview of the road races in the mid during the week. And thanks to Nicole for supporting the podcast. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.